You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Now, it's kind of a fast song. We got the words up here for you. It's kind of a new song for us. We haven't been singing it too awful long around here in the key of F. Okay. If you get it in any other key, I'm going to be in trouble, okay? He's God of New York City. He's God of Tennessee. He's God of Odessa, Texas. And he's God all over me. I know God is God. God will never change. I know God is God. He'll always be the same. He's God that healed my body. He's God that saved my soul. He filled me with the Holy Ghost and now I overflow. I know God is God. God will never change. I know God is God. He'll always be the same. Well, he's God when lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls.
Song. Brother Doug introduced that to us a little while ago, and I'm sure glad he's got the words up on the board because it moves right along. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, if you lift your hand, we'll have somebody give you one. All right, we got some hands up. They're coming with them. And here's what I want you to do. If you do not have a Bible, keep that one as a gift to you from a rec room. Okay? If you don't have one, just keep that one. If you do have one and just didn't bring it with you tonight, and you're not going to keep that one, if you would put it on the table at the back of the room when you leave, that will help us instead of us having to gather them up. And we've got plenty. We'll get them to you. But that'll keep us from having to gather them up out of the chairs. So help us with that if you would. Also, thank you again for using the butt cans for butt cans. Keep the paper goods and stuff out of them. It makes them much easier to put out there. And so I appreciate your help on that. And the trash, we've got trash baskets set out, so if you'll pour the liquid out on the grass or in lavatories or and put the paper goods in the trash, then it'll make cleanup a whole lot better. Because once you leave tonight, there's still a lot of folks that are staying, cleaning up, getting ready for the next thing that's going to take place. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to talk to you tonight about a guy that's just a contemporary Christian. Christianity has changed a lot in my lifetime. Everything, a bunch of things have changed. Some of you have just seen technology and things move so rapidly and so fast that it's been an unusual time for many of us. But there's a prophet in the Bible. In fact, he was the most feared prophet in the entire Bible, by the name of Elijah. And Elijah just appears out of nowhere in 1 Kings chapter 17 in verse 1. And here's how he's introduced. It said, "And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Ahab is the worst king that Israel ever had. This guy was the worst. The Bible tells us he was the worst. And to make matters worse, you may not have heard, how many of you have heard Ahab? Now, he married a woman you've heard of. Her name was Jezebel. One or two of you guys are married to her. Yeah, I knew I'd get some of that. Hey. Jezebel was more wicked than Ahab. But these two people were something else. And just all of a sudden, here's Ahab, the king of Israel. And Elijah just appears before him, and here's what he said. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to the word of God. He said, it's not going to rain. These years. Doesn't tell us how long here, but if you went to the New Testament, this is one of the things I love about the Bible, is that it's one complete book. And way over in the New Testament, in the book of James, James tells us that it was 3.5 years that it didn't rain. Now, we're having some real drought problems in Odessa, Texas, but yet it hasn't been a year since it hasn't rained. We're looking at 8 months or something, and we've got problems, and we're going to have more if it doesn't rain. 3.5 years. And Elijah announces this is what God's going to do. And he said, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence. And this is God talking to Elijah. Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that I'm before Jordan. Okay, now let's go to the 18th chapter. It came to pass after many days, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. That means people didn't have anything to eat. And part of that problem was it's drought. Nothing would be raised. They didn't have the water. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of waters, and to all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him. Speaking of Obadiah, he knew who Elijah was. He fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there's no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee, and when they said he's not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Ahab was after Elijah. He was on his most wanted. In every nation he'd been out, he made people swear they hadn't seen Elijah. And he said, now then, you want me to go tell him that you're here, and when I go tell, well, let's read the rest of the story. Because he said, and now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord that what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he will slay me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And I want to stop there. One of these times we'll go on, because it's what's getting ready to happen is really fun to talk about. Yeah, because there's going to be this showdown at Carmel. That's a good title of that message. Because Elijah is going to confront all of these prophets of Baal, the devil's crowd. And he said, if God be God, let's serve him. And if he's not going to be God, let's don't serve him. And then he said, the God that answers by fire, he is God. And it's a fascinating story. And it's one of those stories that's fascinating because we win. Those are always good, aren't they? We like it when we defeat the devil and we win in our deal. We want our team to win. But what I want to talk to you about is not Ahab and not Elijah, but a guy by the name of Obadiah, who must have been a very miserable individual, because I want you to look at some of the things about him. Number one, he said he feared God. He said it in the third verse. He said it in the 12th verse. I fear God. But he also feared Ahab. Now, I want to tell you something. You can't fear God and man at the same time. If you fear God, you have no fear of man. If you fear man, then you probably ought to have a lot of fear of God. But he's fearing them both. He's got his job. He's trying to get along with everybody. And he feared Ahab more than he feared God, even though he said he feared God. And he trusted Ahab more than he trusted God. See, he's out there doing what Ahab's telling him to do. He associated himself with God's enemies. And we have a lot of people today, and I'm talking about the church crowd, that are want to put one foot on one side and one on the other and live two different lives. We want to be a good old boy to both sides. We don't want to offend anybody. And I'm going to tell you, that's an impossibility if you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can take his name and that won't bother people much. You start living for him. You start practicing what you're preaching. You start standing up for what you believe. And you will have some battles, I will guarantee you. You'll have some battles from the good crowd, not just the bad crowd, from the good crowd. See, he lived two different lives. And the Bible said this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not only did he live two lives, but he tried to have two different loves. And the Bible said you can't love God and mammon. You can't do both. But he was trying to do both. He had two different fears. He said he feared God, but he said, you're going to have Ahab kill me, Elijah, if you're not here. Tell him to show up. So, and his only claim to fame, think about it, his only claim to fame is that he'd hit 100 prophets and fed them. Now, how good is a prophet going to be if you got to hide them? They didn't do anything better for God than the 400 prophets of Baal that's going to have a showdown with Elijah. They were hid and fed. Somebody else took care of them just so they wouldn't get killed. And that's about where most of us are in our Christianity today. We don't want to offend. We don't want to get in too much trouble. We just don't want to make anybody mad. Some of you have received a paper that says the state of Texas versus. I remember in the 1970s, I got a sheet of paper that said the United States of America versus Leland Maples. And I said, I knew I'd teed some folks off. But that many? The whole United States of America? I don't have a friend left. Hey. And I didn't get that because I was doing good, by the way. See, the prophet should have been out there praying for rain, and that's what Obadiah should have been doing, and he's out there helping Ahab find grass to try to keep what few cattle and donkeys and mules that they've got. See, we've got so many Obadiahs in the ministry today, it is unreal. We're all going to have a prayer and pray Texas or pray Odessa instead of just getting up and trying to win Odessa. Why don't we go tell Odessa about Jesus Christ? See, Joshua one time when they got whipped bad, right after God gave him the nation of Israel, Moses is dead. And he said, I'm going to send you into this town. And he said, I don't anybody take anything. Everything in there is accursed. And of course, one of the guys saw it look good. He saw the gold. He saw the silver. He saw a beautiful robe. And they got whipped because of that. And Joshua is over there praying about it. Oh, dear God. What did we do wrong? And God said, get up. Get up and go find out what the cause is and get it straightened up, or I'm not helping you anymore. There comes a time we say, well, I'm going to pray about that. No, get up and go do it. Well, we're praying about it. We just pray. Listen, we meet in church. We leave. We go. We have people that join the church. We have people that leave the church. We got folks that get upset in the church. But what we don't have is people getting upset about sin and about the rottenness that they're doing. And we have no revival. We don't even try to have them anymore. Have you ever thought about that? I can remember when we at least tried to have revival. And if we're going to have revival, it starts in the house of God. It doesn't start in the crack house. It's God's people going to have to get right about some things, or there's not going to be any revival. Let me tell you, the one thing that I need more than anything else, and I hate to even say it because it may be coming, I'm not broken enough. I don't care enough about Jesus Christ to humble myself enough to do totally, fulfill 100%. Oh, I don't have a problem with whiskey anymore. I don't have a problem with a lot of those things that I used to have problems with. They're not even a problem anymore. They may be something that you're fighting right now because I remember going through those problems. But they're not even a problem anymore. My problem is that I do what God wants me to do. And we're standing around and we just play church. We give and then we go live exactly like we want to. We take our money and say, man, I give my 10%. Well, glory hallelujah. I'll tell you something about your money. All 100% of it's God's. Well, not mine. I work for my money. Well, one stroke can stop that. One heart attack can take you out of that. One car wreck can eliminate you from that. See, we work because God has let us be able to work and that we can earn and we can make money and thank God for that, that we can physically do it. And that we have a job. That we can do those things. But it all belongs to God. And we say, now then, I'm going to take that 90%. I give God his 10%. Or maybe you're real benevolent and give him 12. I don't know. It's kind of like the guy in the church that got so excited, he said, God said, I'm going to give you a tenth. And he said, God, I love you so much, I'll give you a twentieth. And that's the way most of our math is. We start, quit giving tenths and give twentieths. It's all His. Mine and your life is His. He could snuff it out just like that. The Bible says, take no thought tomorrow. You don't know what it's going to bring forth. Every day, somebody in this town is gone. Since we started the rec room, we probably buried, we counted up one time a couple of years ago, but I think it was at that time, 7 people that had come to this rec room. I'm not talking about just came while they were in Clover House. People that came to the rec room more than once were active, and we went to their funeral. Some natural causes and some ODs. But they were all went out into eternity. See? Now then, Obadiah did no more for the glory of God than the 450 prophets of Baal. We're just Christian by name only. And until there's some repenting, until there's some name calling of sin, until we name sin, until we renounce sin, until we turn our lives over to God, that we're not going to have anything, people. We are pretty anemic when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to prayer. You know, some of us are proud because we say grace in public. Yeah, boy, we're dedicated. My. You know what Jesus has done for us? They laughed at Him while He died for you and I. But we're loaded with Obadiahs. We don't want to get too far this way. I can remember when I got saved, I had some relatives that were just thrilled to death because I was going to quit being the black sheep of the family. But then as I kind of dedicated myself, they got word again, well, he's going overboard. Well, goodness, see, no, it's not all that important. Hey. Oh, but I wanted to offend nobody. The Bible, Jesus said this, he that is not with me, listen, is against me. You can't have it both ways. You're either with me or you're against me. I'll tell you something, you can judge a person by what he does. You can also judge a person by what he will allow. Some of us would not do what we've allowed our families to do. We wouldn't do what we today say it's okay. Have you ever wondered why that how sin got respectable from 1950 or 60 to 2011? I heard a guy say one time, and I totally agree with him, he said, if it's sin in 2060, it's sin in 2010. That's when I heard him say it. I agree. See, God has not tapered things down. We can be judged by exact about what we will put up with. Instead of saying, that doesn't work. We're not going to do that. Here's the way it's going to be. This is how we're going to live for God. Here's how we're going to serve God. Well, but people might quit. They've already quit if they're like that. You don't have anything. Barry Bryant said this about his hard workouts when he was at Alabama coaching. He said, if a guy is going to quit, I want him to quit during practice, not in the third quarter. And I agree with that. They've already quit. They're not hurting you. The world has the unisex look and the church has got the uni-Christian look. You can't tell which one's which. And the unisex, look, we can't tell if we're male or female. You can't tell some people Christian or non-Christian. There's that no difference type of thing. Because we're just easing along. We're just going along. And God's given us an open door. I had a guy to come by my office this week that he's got a new ministry that he's excited about, and I'm excited for him. And he pastored a church, pastored churches for many years. The last one he pastored was for 8 years in Midland. And he made this statement. He said, I want to get with people that nobody else cares about. And I said, well, if you come into work with drug addicts and inmates and ex-inmates, you just hit it the right place. I want to get where somebody listens to the Lord. We got folks that hear it every Sunday and then walk outside and gripe about the color of the carpet or what kind of car the preacher's driving. Instead of just taking a stand for what Christ has done, to get the gospel. And I don't know how much longer we'll have these doors open. The way our nation is going, the way our world is going, these things can be closed down. I read every week in some of the publications I get right here in America where kids have to take off their Jesus t-shirts and can't wear them to school. Where kids cannot talk to another kid about Jesus Christ in school. It's not happening in West Texas yet, but just wait. It's coming. It's happening in the United States. And thank God we've got this opportunity, and we need to get after it while we got the time to do it. And if I don't tell you about Jesus and about how to get to heaven, I'm the worst enemy you got. You're going to hear me say that a lot. And if you're smoking dope or if you're lying about how much money you're giving, either one, if that offends you, then get offended. But get right with God. I heard Brother Doug said, I don't care if I make you madder than hell, if I can just get you out of there. I like that. Because let me tell you, some of the people that I used to get mad at turned out to be my best friends when Jesus came into my life. I lay in a hospital bed down in Uvalde, Texas, and realized that people that had been tough on me, the reason they were was because they loved me enough not to let me make a fool of myself. They cared enough about me that they wanted me to do the best, not the worst. And I'd never seen it that way before. And that person that's after you, that person may be a loved one, may be a parent, may be a spouse, may be a friend that said, hey, you need to stop this. You need to get right with God. You need to start doing these things. They care enough about you. Hey, they can walk away. They're not getting paid for telling you about Jesus. They can walk off and let you go to hell. But they care enough. Be thankful somebody cares enough. You need to be in a church. You need to be in a church that tells the truth. One of these nights, before long, I'm going to speak on finding a church. For years, I told guys in prisons, once you get out of prison now, you need to find a good church. And it dawned on me, they wouldn't know a good church anymore than I'd know a good computer. That hadn't been their background. Their background had not been churchy, most of them. They'd got saved in prison, and they needed some help. I don't know how many churches we've got in this town. It's 100+, I know that. And every week, as I talk to some of the groups, and somebody will invariably ask me, I'm going to be here in Odessa for 3 months. I'm going to stay here after I get out of the house. What church would you recommend? And I don't recommend a church. just for the simple reason that there's more than one. But you know what's amazing to me? I can't recommend 10. I don't know that many good churches in Odessa, Texas. Now they may be, because I don't know all of them. I just know a few that care enough about you that they'll tell you there's heaven, they'll tell you there's hell, and they'll try to keep you from going there. They'll just tell you the truth. Two of them are sitting right down here. Brother John and Brother Doug. And I know two or three more. People that don't care where you've been, but they do care where you're going. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you're here tonight without Christ. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If this Bible is true, then if you were to die tonight, you'd go to hell and not heaven. And that's just the facts, people. That's what the Bible says. And you say, Leland, would you pray for me that I would not go to hell? I'm lost. Would you just pray for me? While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you slip your hand up? Would you pray for me? I see your hands, son. God bless you. And yours, and yours. You slip it back down. Yours, and yours. Anyone else? Right quick. You slip them down. I see your hand. Hands up all over this room. You put them down after you put it up. God bless you. Now here's. Let me tell you how you do that. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He wraps it up two verses later just like this. For whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's tonight. That's right here. That's anywhere, anytime. That's what I want you to do. Is say right in your own heart of hearts, Lord Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Now there's others of you that you're God's child, but there's not enough evidence to convict you of it. You play the in and out. You're an Obadiah. You feared God sometime. You feared the Ahabs of this world sometime. And you said, Leland, pray for me that I'll just get it straight. I want to be strong. I want to be somebody for Jesus. I want to let people know I'm on His side. Would you pray for me? I'd have guts enough to do it. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Real quick. I see yours. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Real quick. Yes, sir. I see yours. And yours on the back. Thank you. Our Father, you've seen the hearts. I saw the hands. You saw the hearts. And in a moment, Father, we're going to give those that lifted their hands opportunity to put feet to their prayers, to come and trust your Son, to make it public. He died on a cross in front of thousands. He did it publicly for us. So surely we can do it in a room in front of 100. So Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit may convict of sin and that they would say from the bottom of their heart that they're trusting your Son. And those that need to just come and pray and be revived in their own heart, that they would do that. Would you stand to your feet while heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed? As Brother Doug sings, I want you to come and say, Leland, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Would you come right now?
Just as I am, yes, sir. Without one, come on.
Tired of being sick and tired. Heads, we're going to be dismissed. We still have some that talked with. The refreshment bar's open. Thank you, Seth Paul. Thank you so much for being here. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit moves on souls. Thank you, Father, that you don't care how far down we've been. That you can just, we never get too low, that you can't reach and pick us up. Thank you for those that had the courage to step out tonight, to trust you, or to renew their faith in you. Bless us this week. Watch over us and help us to be better witness for you than we've ever been. In Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.